Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
Okay, Michelle, it is time to talk Viagra for women.
Wow.
What's that about?
The blue pill? The blue pill? Where's the pink pill?
The blue pill for us?
Where's the
pink pill?
Could
it be that there is sexual dysfunction in women? Dr. Richard Scott Thornton is an esteemed 30-year career gynecologist at Holy Redeemer Hospital and Medical Center, located in Meadowbrook, Pennsylvania, just outside of Philadelphia, and author of Ask Your Gynecologist, Answers to Over 200 Questions Women Ask Through Every Age and Stage of Their Life. Dr. Thornton, thanks for being on with us.
Oh,
so
it's
a pleasure being with you. Is Viagra the answer? Is it the answer to sexual dysfunction in women?
Well, it can be part of the answer, is the response there. It is useful for something that we call arousal disorder, where the clitoris does not arouse to the same way that it did before. It's not as sensitive or responsive as it was before, because it helps with clitoral engorgement in women the same way that it does the penis in men. So it will help with that. In and of itself, it's not going to help with the most common sexual dysfunction we see, which is a lack of desire for sex. It's a common thing that I hear in women, particularly after menopause, is that they've just lost their sex drive, and we do to sort of recharge that.
So how much of that is psychological? How much of that is biological?
Well, I think that probably the biggest component is probably a lack of or a loss of intimacy or connectedness between partners. I think that a lot of connection between partners often wrapped around children that have since grown up and left. And next thing you know, each partner is sort of doing their own thing. So I think you really intentionally have to work at trying to establish activities that you both enjoy and can do together. And then with the increasing emotional intimacy, there's going to be a desire for physical intimacy. So I think that that's very important. A few other things that are important: it's important to rule out medical conditions that might decrease or zap the sex drive, things like anxiety or depression or hypothyroidism or iron deficiency. It's important to look at drugs that people are on, because sometimes those can have an impact, particularly the SSRI antidepressants. People have heard these terms like Prozac, Zoloft, Lexapro, those type of drugs. And sometimes an alternative can be found when it comes to medications. The other thing people have to realize, which they often don't, is that there's a use-it-or-lose-it phenomenon here. So basically, the less often you have sexual thoughts and sexual activity, the less you're going to want to have sexual activity. Now, in menopause, there's a number of reasons why we see this. And one of the first things, which is so easy to fix, is vaginal discomfort. With a lack of estrogen, the vagina dries out and thins out, becomes irritated and shorter and narrower and less elastic. And you can imagine, it doesn't take too much of uncomfortable sex before you don't want to have sex at all.
Right.
And that can be fixed with very small amounts of vaginal estrogen, which is a very safe thing to do in most women, and adding lubricant. Once sex is comfortable, that goes a long way towards you then being able to enjoy it more. This sexual arousal, with the clitoral arousal, then that is maybe a place where you have a Viagra or a Viagra cream that can be compounded by a pharmacist. Or if that gets too expensive, a L-arginine cream that could be compounded by a pharmacist, which is sort of the alternative and complementary option there.
Well, I'm so glad you're talking about, the thinning of the wall and, the dryness, because it's vaginal atrophy, and a lot of women don't know what vaginal atrophy is. They don't even know that they're susceptible to it. So they don't realize why they're having, painful intercourse, and then their husband doesn't understand why they don't want to have sex with them, and they aren't having the discussion. So I'm so happy to have you bring that up. But let's talk a little bit about the pink pill, what I call the pink pill. Why is there is no pink pill for women? And why is it that the FDA doesn't really think that we suffer from sexual dysfunction?
Well, I think because, I mean, in men, erectile dysfunction is a more obvious manifestation, I guess, is the way to say it.
Huh.
And basically, if there's not a male erection, there's no sex, period.
Right.
So, and the fact that, of course, medicine was dominated by men and research dominated by men for such a long time, I think that sort of, you know, goes into speaking towards looking for more solutions for men than women. And it's interesting that the FDA hasn't approved any of these medications for women. But with studies emerging, you know, demonstrating that there is an effect for arousal disorder, there very well might be, you know, moving forward. The other aspect of that is testosterone. There's no approved testosterone product
exactly.
for women, but yet there is for men.
Right.
Yet women's testosterone levels have decreased in half by the time they're in their 40s, and even further than often after menopause. Yet there's no FDA-approved testosterone product for women, even though studies demonstrated with the testosterone patch that you did improve sexual function, and testosterone is such a large component to clitoral sensitivity, nipple sensitivity, and achievement of orgasm and sex drive.
Oh, yeah, and bone function and brain function and so many
mm-hmm.
other things. And I actually, use compounded testosterone. I go back and testify before the FDA on behalf of women all the time, trying to get some of these, number one, to get them to understand that we do suffer from sexual dysfunction. I hate the word dysfunction, by the way. I wish we could come up with another term, but because it's just part of our health and wellness. But
right.
it's so interesting to me that we have to keep going back and revisit the same conversations about testosterone, about sexual health, and that women do suffer and they need something for it that's FDA approved.
Well, you know, as a physician, I mean, I'm all over this, Dr. Thornton and Michelle. It's just, you know, I'm frustrated. I did my research at the National Institutes of Health. I was there when the Office of Women's Research was first established, and I'm really excited to know that their new director of the Office of Women's Research is a real advocate of moving a lot of this research along. But as you just mentioned, Dr. Thornton, I mean, this is slow going right now. We're just now realizing that most of the medications out there from heart disease on have not been tested in women, and they're right. not gender specific, and we've
sleep
got
medication.
a boatload of homework to do. So there's one other little aspect here, and that is that, you know, when a woman is going through her perimenopause and menopause, at the same time her body's going through all kinds of changes, let's just put it this way kindly, everything's heading south, and it's really hard to look at yourself in the mirror, and a lot of women feel pretty bad about themselves, and you know for a fact that that's just a, you know, that's a deal breaker right there for a libido. So I'm sure as a gynecologist you address this issue a little bit too, don't you?
Yes, you know, you have the proverbial midriff bulge that you're referring to there, where there seems to be a redistribution of fat in addition to gaining some weight. And yeah, I mean, we discuss, you know, the various ways that we try to keep weight in general down and keep toned. I think a wonderful option for women with regard to those issues that you mentioned are yoga and or Pilates, both of which maintain flexibility and strength and engage the pelvic floor muscles and do so many wonderful things.
Yeah. At the same time, you know, really making themselves feel good about themselves. I'm always an advocate of that fitness. Dr. Thornton, we are so happy you've been on Her Radio. Your book is Ask Your Gynecologist, Answers to Over 200 Questions Women Ask Through Every Age and Stage of Their Lives. Thank you so much. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, along with Michelle King-Robeson.
Thank you, Dr. Thornton, and don't forget to pick up his book, Ask Your Gynecologist. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Stay well.